I'm Ruth Jarman, and I'm from the School of Education at Queen's University, just around the corner. And over the last year, we have engaged our students in preparing student-authored podcasts. Now, we had two goals in mind. Firstly, we wanted our students working in groups to wrestle with their developing understandings, and in wrestling with these understandings, so as to be able to present them in a range of different formats, we were hoping that learning would be promoted. Secondly, and it's an interacting goal really, these people are student teachers, and so we wanted them to actually learn to value this as one of many digital technologies that were available to them, and perhaps give them the confidence and the competence to go out into the classroom and use them with their own pupils when they were on school experience. I need to describe a little bit briefly about the structure of our course. Our students are with us for 6 weeks. They then go out on a 12-week school experience, and they come back to us for 4 weeks, and then they go off on another 12-week school experience. Now, what we aim to do, when they came back onto the second teaching block, was we gave them a challenge. We said, right, we want you to work in groups, and we want you to select one basic teaching tool which you felt that you really need to continue to develop. So they came in groups with a common interest. Perhaps some of them wanted to develop their skill of interacting with pupils through questioning. Some might have felt, well, we're science students, we need to do a little bit more in terms of helping to promote numeracy through our teaching. So they chose an issue. Now, they had workshops already on those issues, and as well as that, they read the professional literature, the academic literature around it. Most importantly, they worked in groups sharing their own experiences, sharing what were their successes in this area, but also where they felt they needed to develop further. And as a result of that, we challenged them to make a 5 or 10 minute podcast with a view to having the audience as their peers. So you and I would produce a podcast in questioning with a view to informing other people about that. As a little tweak too, we paired up with a university in the States, and they did exactly the same thing in their context. And the aim was then that we wouldn't just share with our peers within the particular PGCE science group, but we'd share across the Atlantic as well. Now, the students, we thought, did very, very well. They really took to the idea, tremendously interested in the idea, very creative in terms of the podcast they produced. We got them to write a great deal, and apart from anything else, this was one of the aspects of their coursework assignment, so they had to write quite a lot. We wanted them to write, and we're in the process of just reviewing that writing that they've done for us, because we are interested not just in what learning took place, but in how they believed this learning took place. We learned a lot too. We learned, firstly, that the first issue you hit is copyright, just like Joel said. And our initial plans had been to launch these podcasts, but in the end we couldn't because they were infringing copyright. And that was a big lesson to us, and clearly we'll address that differently in future. As well as that, we had the problem of libel and slander. For some benighted reason, one of the groups chose to libel, or is it slander, one of the leading educationists in the United Kingdom. They accused him of plagiarising his work. They did this, I think, for effect, but clearly we couldn't go on. And as well as that, for some reason, and we find this in a number of contexts, when you challenge a student to make a podcast, automatically they think it has to be funny. And not everybody does humour well. It gives me an interesting thing to learn. As a result, firstly, we're going to do it again this year. So it was successful. Secondly, we have a lot of students there who went straight back into their second school experience and used podcasts with their pupils, which was really encouraging for us. And they came back delighted with the experience and with the learning that their pupils engaged in and the creativity of the podcast that their pupils produced. We have a legacy as well, because we've kept their podcasts. We can share them judiciously, of course, because of the issues I raised with this year's student cohort. And lastly, whereas we were a group of 50 science students, now all 200 on the PGC are learning how to make podcasts and to use them in their teaching. So it's a start, not tremendously ambitious, but we believe it worthwhile for us.
That's brilliant. So what's the hope about the reuse then? Because originally I thought the model would be just to throw it away, a new cohort come in and learn similar experiences to the previous cohort.
We would have every year a couple of students who would struggle with a particular issue, and we would tend to say, hey, listen to what last year's students were saying when they were struggling with this. We had hoped that that process would be much more sophisticated, but as I say, we do have problems with a copyright. We did get the student group who had accused this particular gentleman of plagiarism to change their podcast. So we can use it, but we can't use it as widespreadly as perhaps we do.
What were the copyright issues that came up?
They were using music, primarily. They were a bit of music.
Any other questions? Sounds really interesting.
These were just podcasts, and obviously next year we want to be able to, you know, get them to match it up with PowerPoint, and as well as begin to move toward podcasting.
Because that would be quite interesting to see if it loses anything by the matching up, because it's a slightly different beast, and it might lose something there.
So we'll be going onto your website.
What did you get them to write?
They had to write a review
of the process.
Of the process, that's right. Because just the way our coursework assessment goes, they had to have hard copy, if you like, as well as the podcast itself. So the assignment was based on the podcast, but also on their reflective perception on the process. Because we thought it very important that they reflected on the process if they were going to use them as teachers in the classroom. Because what we didn't want was them to feel this is just foolish. You know, we're just doing it because the thing to do next year to be something different.
So was it, sorry, to tease that out, was it the mechanics of it or the conceptual stuff or you know, that you were asking them to reflect?
We were trying to get over the mechanics of it as quickly as we possibly could.
Right.
We didn't want them to get lost in that. We did run a workshop for them, and this is how to prepare a podcast. As well as that, we've done a little bit of podcasting in schools in a project that had been sponsored by the Science Technology Facilities Council. And we've worked quite closely with the guys that produced the science podcast for the Guardian newspaper. So they had given us some background information on podcast design, what makes a good podcast. And we were able to share that with the students. Now, the students did comment inevitably on the process, but as quickly as possible, we moved them into the actual learning that was occurring, and also how they could exploit this. Inevitably, it makes it sound tremendously successful. There are hiccups as well. The American link worked to a certain extent, but not quite as much as it would. So we only got 3 podcasts back from the States, whereas we were sending them 8. But it was intriguing. The Americans' response to our podcast was to spend about 50% of the time talking about the accent. And the other 50 actually said, isn't it interesting that we have similar educational issues? Isn't it interesting that you have the same problems and issues that we have? So enlightening.
Just in my concrete way, as per usual, if you're using it as part of an assessment, are there like marking criteria that you can access to kind of...
The written work would have been assessed against the marking criteria.
But not the podcast. There are some,
and it escapes me, I don't know if anybody else knows, there's a couple, I'm not sure if on the wiki as well, where they have tried to assess the podcast in terms of the production of, as well as the conversation, the process about, and that came from. And they've got marking matrix, which they've employed. Some of them, some points you might agree or disagree with. I don't know if you've
read the chapter in the book. There's a chapter in the book, but Martin Jenkins from the Digital Storytelling Initiative. Okay. A lot of his assessment procedure is probably quite relevant to this. Now, he has that up on the AGA wiki. I can't say exactly where, but if you can't find it, then get in touch with one of us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's really useful.
There was a massive crossover with the way they're assessing digital stories.
Thank you. Yeah. We didn't go down that area. It was sort of one step at a time. With procedures for assessing.
Can I just say that actually getting that right is really important because in student project-based work around this, there is a huge tendency to let the technology, the product, dominate the student, the learner engagement. Mm-hmm. And that's really not the point. So being clear about assessment criteria and assessment methodology is really, really important. Well,
one of the things we've found in doing focus groups with students where we have introduced this is the very simple question of actually the weighting. Because we've done projects with non-media students where we've introduced them, we've set them a task of doing an audio assignment as opposed to something else. They put an awful lot of time into it and got frustrated because, in fact, because we hadn't really confronted the assessment methodology, we thought we better not give too many marks weighted on it. And then that leads to a sense of frustration. Because they sort of go, well, we're spending hours and hours and we're really getting into this, but we know we're only going to get 5% of the marks, whatever we do at the end of it. So that's aligning it really to the rest of the thing once again is one of those matters we want to deal with.
Okay. Is there any other questions for Ruth? Just say, is there anything on the web about any of this, thoughts, reflections, or anything?
No. Oh, okay. We are still working with them, dear. We don't believe with anything like it perfect.